And now for reading and writing and radio.
The next moment the master faced the school, every eye sunk under his gaze. Who tore this book? There was not a sound. One could have heard a pin drop. The master searched face after face for signs of guilt. Benjamin Rogers, did you tear this book? A denial. Another pause. Joseph Harper, did you? Another denial. Tom's uneasiness grew more and more intense under the slow torture of these proceedings. The master turned to the girls. Amy Lawrence? A shake of the head. Gracie Miller? The same sign. Susan Harper, did you do this? Another negative. The next girl was Becky Thatcher. Tom was trembling from head to foot with excitement and a sense of the hopelessness of the situation. Rebecca Thatcher? Tom glanced at her face. It was white with terror. Did you tear? No, look me in the face. Did you tear this book? A thought shot like lightning through Tom's brain. He sprang to his feet and shouted, I done it! The school stared in perplexity at this incredible folly. Tom stood a moment to gather his dismembered faculties, and when he stepped forward to go to his punishment, the surprise, the gratitude, the adoration that shone upon him out of poor Becky's eyes seemed pay enough for 100 floggings. Inspired by the splendor of his own act, he took without an outcry the most merciless flaying that even Mr. Dobbins had ever administered. He also received with indifference the added cruelty of a command to remain 2 hours after school should be dismissed, for he knew who would wait for him outside till his captivity was done, and not count the tedious time as loss either.
That whipping Tom Sawyer got was written by Mark Twain, but it could be, ouch, you. WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
This is the International Year of the Child. Undoubtedly by now you've heard this, maybe discussed it in class or with your parents or each other. Why should there be a Year of the Child? The United Nations has given us a Declaration of the Rights of the Child, and this is a strong clue. If a Declaration of Rights needs to be stated by such a responsible organization, then many of these rights must be missing for large numbers of children. The UN and caring people all around the world want everyone to become much more conscious of the needs of children during this year and to work harder to fulfill these needs for every child. Most of you listening today are in the category generally called children, or else you've recently grown into what's called, in the public library at least, young adults. So being a child is something that you know firsthand. You haven't forgot what it's like yet, and you probably have some strong views on rights. Perhaps a necessary question, but a first one is, do you think children have any rights, and if so, what are they? Well, the Declaration deals with rights, and every one right we could spend many programs on. Your manual lists the 10 principles that were adopted by the United Nations General Assembly, and you may want to study these and write views and stories on a particular principle or on children's rights in general. Maybe you'll want to write your own Bill of Rights, and feel free to send your writings in on whatever principle you choose. Today, however, we're going to focus on one right that's having some interesting repercussions, and one that I've heard discussed with considerable energy by kids and others. It's Principle 9. The child shall be protected against all forms of neglect, cruelty, and exploitation. Now, child abuse is a very serious subject, and it's one that we haven't talked about yet on this program. Perhaps you'll want to write on this topic. Our discussion, though, is going to concentrate on punishments and discipline, which are less harsh terms, though I know that there are many punishments and disciplines that do amount to child abuse. For the International Children's Year, Sweden has gone beyond the UN Declaration and has made a law that parents can't slap or spank their children or submit them to humiliating treatment, such as sending them to their rooms. I'll bet some of you listeners would have views on that. Here's a news clipping about Sweden's law, and it ends, "The government plans to distribute videotapes advising children of their rights and pamphlets for parents stressing that threats and physical punishment are bad for children. The pamphlets acknowledge at least some of the realities of child rearing. Of course, they say, you have the right as a parent to get angry and show it." And then here's a clipping from Britain. It says, "Abolition of caning," that's hitting children with a cane, "in schools would be a major step towards a more humane and civilized society," the United Kingdom Association of the International Year of the Child says today. In a report on corporal punishment, it states that Britain and Ireland are now the only countries in Europe to retain it. But the association admits that abolition would be a bold step because the majority opinion of both teachers and parents is in favor of retaining it. Well, our contribution to the International Year of the Child is to discuss this topic of discipline and punishment with all of you and to give you a chance to write your views. And here to discuss it with me are five students, and I'll let you kids introduce yourselves. Would you give your name and your school and your grade? And we'll start with Kara.
My name is Kara Burrell, and I'm from Hazeldale. I live in Springfield, and I'm in fifth grade.
Okay.
My name is Kevin McKenzie. I live in Auburn. I go to Auburn Elementary, and I'm in sixth grade.
My name is Marsha Pittman. I go to Auburn Elementary. I live in Auburn, and we go to sixth grade.
My name is Howard Veal Jr., and I live in Springfield and go to Harvard Park, and I'm in the fifth grade.
My name is Randy Wooldridge. I live in Williamsville, Illinois. I go to Williamsville Junior High School, and
sixth grade, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, our topic's a big one, kids, and any way you look at it, it's a hot potato. It's loaded. The teachers might not like us telling tales out of school if there are school cruelties, and the parents won't much appreciate our revealing home punishments either. But let's fare bravely ahead and not pull our punches. And to begin with, let's talk about the schools. And why don't we hear from each of you on what sort of rules does your school or your class have, and do you think they're fair ones?
Well, we have one rule at our school, and I think it's in the whole District 186, that we can't chew gum. I know it's at our school. And I kind of think it's fair, and I kind of think it's not. Well, I know why we can't chew it is because, it gets in the garbage cans. I can't say that's one reason, but people step on it, and it gets on their shoes and things.
I once looked under my chair in school and found 13 wads of gum from years behind that had been stuck there. Why do you think it should be allowed?
Why do you think gum should be allowed?
Yeah, you said you thought it was sort of fair and sort of wasn't. And so that means you'd sort of like it to be allowed.
Well, I'm not sure about that.
Okay. How about you, Marsha?
Well, in our school, we're not allowed to tip back our chairs, but that's probably everywhere. And if we do, we either get in a lot of trouble or we're just told not to do it. But, we have to write sentences if we do. Well, we have to write 150 of, I will keep all four legs of my chairs on the floor at all times.
Oh, gosh, that's a long sentence.
Yeah, but they make even longer ones if you really do something bad.
How about you, Kevin? You're in a different class.
Well, in our class, if we get a check on the board, then that means that we'll have to write a great big paragraph so many times. A couple times if we do, she puts a check on the board, and then get in trouble.
Wait, what do you get a check for?
Either talking or misbehaving or something.
Mm-hmm. And what constitutes misbehavior in school, in your class?
Well, the goof-offs. So they start causing the trouble. They start, like, making something funny, and then they cause other people to laugh, and then they do funny things.
Uh-huh. I take it when you say they that you don't consider yourself a goof-off.
Well, it depends.
Maybe a little of the time. I think we all have our goof-off moments. What sort of rules at your school, Kara, and do you think that they're fair?
Well, one rule is, like, let's say that you're running down the hall, the teacher finds out that she sees you running down the hall, she'll make you stop and say and talk to you about it. Second time, if she finds you running down the hall, I can't remember. But the third time, she'll report you to Mr. Frakes, that's our principal, and then fourth time she finds you, she'll tell your parents, and then if she finds you the last time doing it again after you've been warned, you'll be sent down to you'll be spanked.
Be spanked? With a hand? With a paddle?
Well, my principal, he sometimes brings paddles, or he has one in his desk. If you're very, very bad, sometimes he paddles you with the paddle, and sometimes if it's not that bad, then he'll like talk to it, and we'll have to stay in for the recess, whole recess.
Well, then we have Ireland and England and the United States where they have caning. If we call, that's what corporal punishment, where you use a paddle or a cane. Do many kids in your school get paddled, do you think?
Yeah, there's about four of them that were. I won't tell the names, but there were four of them in my classroom last year who always getting in trouble, and they got paddled sometimes, or they had to stay in for recess.
Do you think the paddling does any good?
I don't know. I haven't been paddled yet.
Okay, well, let's see. We haven't heard from Randy yet, have we? Tell us about your school.
Well, one of the rules is that you can't walk down the hall holding hands with somebody of you know, like a girl or something. And sometimes I think it's kind of stupid, and sometimes I think it's, you know, right.
This is junior high school.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So they figure that that's bad deportment to be holding hands in the halls,
Yeah.
Before we began, you mentioned that there were rule books that all your schools had. 186 has a book of rights and responsibilities. Is this the one that gives the rule books for the schools? Does Auburn have a rule book?
We just get a page.
You have a page. Mm-hmm. And how about Williamsville?
Oh, we get about 10 pages.
20. Pages. On the whole, do you think that the rules are fair that are made? And can you see the reasons for them, or do they seem unreasonable to you?
Sometimes.
I think a lot of them are fair, because running down the hall is kind of dangerous, and talking out of turn and that's rude, and it would teach you not to be rude.
Do you have time in your classes where you can talk, or do you have to be quiet all day long?
No. We can talk sometimes in study hall if we're quiet, but then sometimes if we get too loud, we get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
We can't talk one bit.
Not one bit?
No, the teacher, well, unless you raise your hand, or else if you're talking on the subject, that's the only time you can talk. You can't talk about anything else.
So there's no periods where you can just sort of walk around and chat? And
nope.
Not even when you're doing projects and things?
Well, when you're doing projects, yeah, but that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And the only projects we do is in science, and we, you know, draw and stuff and look up things.
Mm-hmm.
And you can talk to other people because they might be doing stuff like that. And it's okay then.
Who made the rules in your schools? Did you students participate at all in deciding on what the rules were going to be?
Our teachers did it.
Yes.
Let's see. I see Kevin and Marcia saying that the teachers did it, and Randy, Kara, you were indicating by nodding that the students did participate in making the rules.
Yeah, the teacher asked us what we some rules about it, and she put them on the board, and then she copied them down on a piece of paper, and she Xeroxed them, and everybody has one in their folder. And sometimes if we do something, like, there is one rule on there, it said you're not supposed to be chewing gum or, you know, when you put your spitwads. You're not supposed to be throwing them around.
No spitwads to throw, right?
Yeah, and so a couple of boys did that, and they had to go up to the desk of the teacher, and she said, don't do it again. Most of the time, see, they always spit them on people's hairs and bodies and all that, and some kids go and tell on them, and they get in trouble.
Sometimes you can get away with it, too.
Oh, yeah.
Take pens apart.
Do you feel, though, that you would feel better about the rules if you had something to do with making
yes.
them?
Yes.
You'd like that better if you and a group of the students said no holding hands in the halls?
Or well, I wouldn't say that.
So that you don't think that's an important rule, right?
Not really.
Okay. Go ahead, Howard.
Doesn't have any meaning.
We didn't make up the school rules, but we kind of helped make up our classroom rules.
Can you tell us about your classroom rules?
Well,
by sort of, what do you mean? Did the teacher have them all worked out and then you okayed them, or did you help think them up?
Like, we have the things, we have the rules, and then if you break them, the consequences, like some were detention, and detentions, you like stay in the gym and face the wall, and you can't take work. I think you could used to take work, but now you can't. And let's see some other things. I think one was miss a special period. I'm not sure.
So these are all the punishments if you break a rule, right?
Yeah. And also in our classroom, like we have this rug, you know, and it has three bean bags on it. And when you get your work done, you can go over there, and I think eight's the limit, and anybody can go over there, but if all the beanbags are taken, you gotta stay on the rug.
And is this a sort of reward, the beanbag area, for?
It's not really, because it's like a library.
Oh, okay.
And when you can read books and stuff like mm-hmm. that.
Well, we had two words, punishment. We've been talking about punishments, and Kevin, you mentioned one about chewing gum before we started. What was that you were telling us about if you chewed gum in a class you were in once?
One of the teachers, a couple of my friends, they had to put gum on their noses. They had to stick it to their noses. And I asked them if they think it would stick to their nose, keep sticking. And they said they don't think so because if you keep it moist. But I don't think that's really fair because, you know, gum sticks to you really good.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a sort of humiliating punishment, too, which mm-hmm. Sweden would disapprove of, I think, to have you stick the gum to the tip of your nose. But I know that that's a popular one. That they were doing that when I was in school. And we weren't supposed to chew gum either. Kara?
Okay, let's say somebody, we were outside and we were doing something bad, and the secretary or the principal came and found what we were doing. If it was real, real bad, they would send us on the wall. The wall is, there's a school building, and outside there's a whole bunch of walls, and you would stand on the wall or sit on the wall until the principal or the secretary or the patrols tell you to get off the wall.
Hmm. Well, we've talked some about rules and the punishments for the rules, and I brought up two words. Punishment and discipline. Just a minute. You want to say something, Howard? Go ahead.
Yeah.
And then Randy's got something to say, too.
At BTU, I think it was at Church Baptist Training Union. I think that's what the letters stand for. This girl named Angela McPherson, she told us about what the punishment was at Southeast High School or something like that, similar to it. It was about in-house suspension.
And what's in-house suspension?
I think it's like this wall around you, and you stay in it, and like when they first come to school, you come after, so you can't talk to your friends or anything. And then when they go outside or it's lunchtime, you wait or go before them or something.
So you're isolated?
Yeah, and you can't talk to your friends or anything.
I wonder how long that would last.
I don't know.
Sounds pretty bad. And Randy, do you remember what you were going to say?
Well, I have a question for Kara. What are the patrols?
Patrols are, Mr. Frakes, our principal, he lets everybody be a patrol. Patrol is some they wear these orange belts, and they're supposed to be patrols who make sure that everybody's all right, and if they're doing something they think it's real, real bad, they put them on the wall for.
So the patrols can give punishment, right? They can say,
yeah,
get on the
really,
wall?
Yeah, but they're really supposed to help the little kids. And
We have patrols, too.
Us, too.
Except they write us tickets.
Yeah, we write
tickets.
Yeah,
write
they had
tickets.
The name. And
the
then
first
you give it to Mr. Barton. He's the head of the school safety patrol. And then if you get three tickets, you have a talk with Mr. Barton.
Well, now, are these for doing unsafe things?
Yes,
yeah,
like
throwing rocks or
fighting, you know, just things like that, tackling
mm-hmm.
in the football,
mm-hmm.
which we can't because
a
bunch of kids have gotten hurt, broken collarbones.
So those seem rather fair, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing those sorts of things. Well, I was heading toward the topic of discipline and punishment. Do you see a difference in the words? For instance, what does discipline mean? Does it necessarily mean punishment? And I think Marcia had said she had something to say on that, and then we'll have you, Randy, okay?
Well, discipline is a lot different because discipline is just helping you understand that you're not supposed to do something. And punishment is make like getting a spanking or something that you get in trouble, that you do get in trouble.
What do you think about that, Randy? Were you going to say something to that, too?
Yeah, it's like you get punished for it, so you will learn to do the right thing or do the wrong thing. Well, that you won't do the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do we mean, then, by self-discipline?
Oh,
let's have Kevin on that one.
Well, it's like self-control. You know how to behave in that.
Yeah, so that discipline, we could say, sometimes it means punishment, but more often we mean a kind of control. And if we learn self-discipline, that's, of course, what everybody is trying to teach you, I think, or I would hope that they were all trying to teach you, so that you can take over your own learning, your own discipline, for instance. And I think control is a good way to express it, that if you don't learn to control yourself, you know, and you're the only one that can do it, you're never going to really do anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's like practicing basketball. If you don't get out there and practice it, or if you don't practice the piano or the cello, which I play, you're not going to ever learn how to do it. So that this is what self-discipline is, in studying or in, you know, not doing dangerous things and so forth. I've got some questions here from some teachers, and one said, would you ask your panel what they would recommend that I should do with the class cut-up?
I don't think writing sentences would make him stop because, you know, that person probably just thinks that that's just something to do, and he probably doesn't care if he just gets it done. So, you know, it'd have to be something to humiliate him, you know, keep him from doing that again.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause writing sentences, it just makes your hand tired, you know, and some people just, you know, don't care a lot about it much.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you've got somebody that is constantly making a disturbance, it's hard to get anything else done for the rest of the class. And so the problem is, you know, what do you do about that person or those persons? I don't think that the writing sentences does much good myself, and I've heard of some other sorts of punishments that I don't think much of, like looking up 30 words in the dictionary and writing out their definitions, or I know of one school where they made them memorize poetry. And it seems to me as soon as you punish people by making them memorize poetry, why, they're not going to like poetry very well. So I really think we ought to think about our punishments, you know, whether they are accomplishing what we want them to accomplish. That's often the problem with punishments. A teacher asked me to ask you kids how you felt about parent conferences. That if there's been something that you've done and the parents have to be called in, how do you feel about those?
I've never had one.
Me either.
Well, one of my friends has been told that he was going to have his mother or father come in and the teacher talk to him, or her mother or father.
Mm-hmm. Suppose, Kevin, that you had to have a parent conference. Would you want to be in on it, or do you think that it's better to have it between the parent or the parents and the teacher and you not there? Would you like?
I'd like to be in it because then I'd know all the things that I did wrong, and then I could, you know, like tell them I did not do that or something, because then the parent, you know, really gets mad at you and says, well, why did you do this? And then I say I didn't, and then they say you did.
How do the rest of you feel if you had to have a parent conference? Would you want to be in on it or not? Marsha's nodding and Randy's nodding. How about you, Howard?
Well, I don't know.
You'd just as soon be out of it?
I guess. I'd be scared.
Kara?
I'd be on it.
You'd like to be there, too.
I'm not really sure. I don't think it'd really be fair if you couldn't be in it, because then, you know, the teachers might want it. One, you're just your mother, but, you know. But you probably want to be in it so you'd know what they were saying.
Yeah, I really think that if I were going to be there, I'd want to find out what was being said with the teacher and my parents so that I could understand, too. Today I was painting my house, and I listened to a recess going on in the school next door, and some of the kids were wrestling and fighting, not very bad, and the teacher called out and told them to stop a couple of times, and the scuffling went on, and she finally took everybody in. And then the same thing happened again this afternoon, a very short recess, and so everybody was punished for a couple of kids scuffling. What do you think about everybody being punished for a couple of kids?
Well, I don't think it's fair.
Go ahead, Marsha. Well,
it's not fair because those two people should be punished for what they did and not have the whole class have to pay for it.
My feeling was that a little scuffling on the playground is all right, but so I felt sort of sorry about it, and I really feel bad that so often punishments are cutting out movement, that the chance you get to run around and get rid of your energy is often what you're deprived of when you've done something wrong. And I was thinking that teacher was really punishing herself, because it would have been good for those kids to have 10 minutes more to run around and let off steam. Randy, let's have one remark from you, and then we're going to have to quit. Kevin, too. I think we can manage both.
In gym, what these kids were running and everything, and they wouldn't do what they were supposed to. And everybody the next day couldn't play line soccer, couldn't do anything. All we had to do was do exercises. We had to do 40 push-ups.
That sounds sort of crummy. You were going to give Kevin a chance, and we're running close to the edge. Go on, Kev.
About the when you were saying that they punished the whole class, I think that then those two kids would think they got away with it, and they could probably do it again and get the whole class punished, because they were probably either two goof-offs and thought it was funny to get the class in trouble, or...
Like, at school, like, if there's a fight, and I think it was last year, whoever was around, everybody would get in trouble for it.
And you think that's unfair?
Whoever's around fight, because they were probably saying, ooh, good one, and stuff like that, enticing the fight to go on and more and more.
That's a good way of putting it. And you don't think that's fair either?
Not really.
No.
Yeah, I think it's kind of fair for everybody to get in trouble, but not really.
They were egging it on.
I know.
They kept telling, the person, you know, like he said.
Well, I see that we could go on and on with this topic, and we'll be interested to hear from those of you that are listening, and teachers as well as kids. So tell us what rules you think are important, what ones we could do without. Write down your own stories of fair and unfair punishment. Tell us about discipline. Maybe give us a time where you showed some good self-discipline. Was there ever a time that you got somebody else's punishment, or that somebody else got yours? You don't have to limit yourself either to school in these papers. Tell what you think of home discipline, and the kinds of punishments perhaps that you get at home. Are some better than others? Can you recall, for instance, a time that you've wanted limits? When did the grown-ups say, you're aching for a spanking? And when you're grown up, what do you think you'll do about punishing or disciplining your children? And thank you, Kevin and Marsha and Howard and Randy and Kara, for being here with us today.
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.